Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. It's so good that you are able to join us online today in this very, very wonderful occasion. And I'm so glad that wherever you are in any part of the world that you can be with us today. And that is just fantastic. I'm glad we can leverage technology for the benefit of the people. My name is Daniel. I'm one of the leaders here at The Rocks. And thank you again for tuning in today. As Chloe has said, today we are continuing our series, The Ride of Faith. And it's actually meant to be a one-off message that we started last week. But we thought during this season, it is appropriate for us to continue to speak on this subject of faith. And that's what we're going to do. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have been called to a life of faith. And Sid mentioned last week that this life of faith can sometimes feel like a roller coaster ride. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs, zig and zag, a twist and turn. But throughout the whole thing, one thing that we know, especially if you have been following Jesus for a long time, if you've been living the life of faith, you know, even though it's not always easy, even though sometimes it can be fearful, but we know it's always fruitful. We know it's always it gives you a sense of joy and peace that you will never have any other way. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to let you know that this life of faith is available for you as well. I believe that you are tuning in today for a reason. I believe it's not an accident. I believe by the end of our time together, you would have a lot of things to think about. And maybe you would even want to join us in this life of faith. Today, I want to speak on the topic of how should faith respond to crises. I'm sure you are all aware by now that COVID-19 or coronavirus has been declared by the World Health Organization as a pandemic. That means it's a global disease that's affecting every part of the world. We live right now in an unprecedented time. Because the last pandemic happened in 1918. It was the flu pandemic. So many of us, most of us, have never seen this before. Actually, I was going to call this message, How Should Faith Respond to Life? Because how you live your life should be no different whether you're facing a crisis or not. But I believe crisis is one of those times that can elevate a need to live the life of faith. And so I believe today is going to be very, very helpful to you. Today, we're going to look at an ancient letter. An ancient letter that was written by someone who was about to die, literally. It was written to someone who was a young leader, a young protege, up and coming and new in the faith, in the leadership faith. And this person, his name was Paul. And Paul used to not like Christianity. He used to hate the Christians. He used to kill them, actually. And Paul met with the resurrected Jesus. And when you physically met with the resurrected Jesus, your life will change. And Paul's life did change for the better. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. He started planting churches all over the Mediterranean world, even all the way to Europe. And Paul established this church in Ephesus, and his young protege was pastoring a church in Ephesus. And Paul, on his deathbed, if you like, he was about to die. He was about to be executed in Rome. He wrote this powerful, powerful letter. You know, when you are about to die, you are very careful with what you say. You choose what you want to say. You only will say what is important. So how do we know Paul was about to die? In the middle part of the letter, we're going to look at this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, Paul wrote this. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. Paul has lived his life to the maximum. There's nothing left to give. The time of my death is near. And here comes the triplets of his life achievement. And this is so powerful. This is why a lot of Christians put this on their tombstone. Wouldn't you like to be able to say this at the end of your life? Paul says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've remained faithful. Wow, that is powerful. I want to be able to say that at the end of my life, that I have lived the life of faith. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness. So Paul, knowing that he didn't have much time to live anymore, he wrote this powerful letter that reminds Timothy, his protege, how he should live his life of faith, what that life of faith is going to look like in his life. So if you have your Bible online or, you know, a paper Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. And here's what Paul says. This is fantastic. Let me read it for us. Paul says, I remember your genuine faith. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, genuine faith, unless you don't have a genuine faith and fear do not mix. They just don't mix. You can either have one or the other. People with genuine faith will not live their life full of fear. Yeah, you'll be afraid from time to time, but you will not be gripped by fear. You will not live your life full of fear, all right? And they won't run away every time someone sneezes. Like this guy, you know, I saw this on the social media and I thought it was really, really funny. I was your pilot, someone sneezed, good luck. Imagine if you are on that plane. Now, for the rest of our time together, I just want to focus and concentrate on verse 7. Because verse 7 is very powerful. Whether you're new to Christianity or whether you've lived your whole life as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, not too many people realize the relationship between faith and all these things that Paul is about to mention in this powerful verse in verse 7. So let us read it again one more time. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me tell you, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. It is from the enemy, all right? The enemy wants you to be fearful. Why? Because if you are fearful, you will be, read that. If you are fearful, you will be powerless. If you are fearful, you will be loveless. If you are fearful, you will be mindless. Mindless like you will fight with an old lady over toilet paper. Mindless. Here's something that is very, very important that I want you to know, all right? I mean, this is worth tuning in for, okay? Faith is not incompatible with having a sound mind. Let me read it again. Faith is not incompatible with having a sound mind. This is why Jesus says, love the Lord your God, not only with your heart, not only with your soul, not only with your strength. What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind as well. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, says the same thing. Be transformed by the renewing of what? Of your mind. So faith is not incompatible with having a sound mind. And that is why, as a church, we choose to not have a physical gathering today following the advice from our government, because this is what faith looks like. Having faith means you exercise sound judgment. That means you trust God, that God has put a leader over you, and you want to follow what is sensible. And what is sensible right now, what is love right now, is by protecting our neighbors. That's what love looks like at this moment in our history. I believe during this time of crisis, people will look to you. as a follower of Jesus Christ. During this time of crisis, people will look to the church. What will the church do? Will the church respond in fear? A lot of people think just by canceling our meeting, that means we don't have faith, that means we are fearful. That is not the case at all. But people outside, we look to you, we look to us collectively as a church, what will the church do during this time? Will we be fearful? Will we exercise faith that expresses itself in sound judgment? You know, it is very important what we do. This is an example of, I believe, not being very careful with what we say, especially in social media during this time. I want to read to you a statement from a church. I'm not going to say which church, but I believe this statement, even though generally it's true, it can be misrepresented, it can be misunderstood, because you don't have the chance to give it a proper context. Let me read to you what this church statement says. We are in agreement that this COVID-19 will not come near our dwelling or our church family. We are praying daily for you, knowing that we are all protected by the blood of Jesus. Now, as I say, generally, I would agree with this statement. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that the blood of Jesus is powerful to protect us from all harm. I believe all that. But if you say things like this without context, it can be misunderstood, and people are looking at us, people are looking at you to find a solution, to find hope during this time. This statement has received a lot of criticism, unfortunately, because of that misunderstanding. For example, this tweet from Rebecca Urban. Statement from this church, we are in agreement that COVID-19 will not come near our dwelling or our church family. We are praying daily, knowing that we are protected by the blood of Jesus. And then her comment was, I wonder if the coronavirus is a party to the agreement. Another tweet from Justin Smith. They're not afraid of getting virus because they are protected by the blood of Jesus. The assumption being that anyone who has the virus, including those who died, were not loved by their God. Religion is just plain bloody nasty sometimes. So make sure you exercise sound judgment as an expression of your faith. All right? Exercise judgment at all times, not just during the time of crisis. You need to exercise sound mind as you live your life. You need to exercise sound mind when you run your business. Sure, pray for your business. I really believe in the power of prayer. But at the same time, don't just leave the success of your business to prayer. You need to exercise sound mind. What would be things that you can do, for example, that would be best for your business? Exercise sound mind as you raise your family. Exercise sound mind as you go to school and all that. And behind the scene, you trust that God, the God of the universe, who is in control over everything, will do what is right for you. All right? So that's the first thing. Faith shows itself in the exercise of sound mind. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7 again. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The second way faith expresses itself, especially in the time of crisis, is in the way that we love other people. All right? Again, if you are fearful, you will not be loving. You will be loveless. And that's why during a time of crisis, this thing called xenophobia will be elevated even more. Comes from the two Greek words, phobia and xeno. Phobia meaning fear, and xeno means people. Fear makes us xenophobic. You know, we are already selfish by nature. We are already a tribal by nature. But when you are in crisis, you will do this even more. You will do things to protect your own interests, to protect your own family, and that's what fear does. But when you don't live in fear, when you have faith, you will not be xenophobic. You will be the opposite of xenophobic. It's called xenophilia. I just found out about this from Greg Boyd, one of my favorite authors. He says, as a Christian, we shouldn't be xenophobic. We should be xenophilic. Xenophilia means, from the word philia, means love, and xeno means others. We should love others even more during this time of crisis. This is the time for the church to shine. This is the time for you to shine. And our window of opportunity to make a difference is right now. It is limited. I believe this virus will pass, all right? But what we do during this time will be extremely important as people of faith. I believe COVID-19, the coronavirus, is one of the pivotal circumstances that God uses to grow people's faith. This is the time for you to provide hope where there seems like there is no hope. This is the time for you to provide a solution where there seems to be like it's not clear what the solution will be. Let's point them to God. Let's point them to Jesus. Let's do that by loving other people. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to continue your pursuit of faith. Do you know that Jesus came to our world 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for you, for me, because of His love? He's not mad at us. He loves us so much, and that's why He came down from all the glory of heaven. He left it all behind so that He could establish a relationship with us, that broken relationship because of sin. Jesus fixed that through His death and resurrection. So I want to encourage you to continue your quest, your pursuit of this faith. If you have any questions at all regarding this, make sure you contact us. We love to guide you and lead you in this journey of faith, all right? But let's use this opportunity to continue to love other people. I want to read you this tweet from celebrity Ali Carter. And this is what love requires of us at this time. I see a lot of people being like, I would survive the coronavirus. I'm taking my chances. The way I see it, yeah, I'd survive it, but I might carry it to someone who wouldn't. And that, folks, is the problem. Sure, you might survive the coronavirus, but do you know that this virus can be really, really fatal for some of the people in our community? Usually the elderly, those who are not as strong physically, even children. I found out that in Perth, it was in the news, a 12-year-old boy by the name of Kai Barton. He is one of the 3,000 sufferers of cystic fibrosis. It's a lung condition that has required him to undergo medical treatments since birth. And just catching a common cold will put Kai in hospital for weeks. And so his dad, Justin, he's not taking any chances. He said, I'm going to monitor the situation. If this spread of this virus continues, he might have to move to the wheat belt in order to protect Kai because it is that dangerous to him. Love means you are sensible, all right? You exercise sound mind and you exercise a restraint from going to public places if it's not necessary to protect people like Kai, okay? This is how the church grew in the first century. Do you know that? The church grew in the first century by the way they show love, by the way they sacrifice for other people. There's a great book written by Rodney Stark. The book is called The Rise of Christianity, and I love the subtitle, How the Obscure Marginal Jesus Movement Became the Dominant Religious Force in the Western World in a Few Centuries. In just a matter of a few centuries, this unknown Jewish sect suddenly became a powerhouse all over the world, especially the Western world. And this is what the book is all about. They, the early Christians, believed that they were called to imitate Jesus and suffer for others. Their life was spent demonstrating their faith to the community around them. They believed they wouldn't really, truly die. So they were outrageously generous. This caused others to convert because they won the hearts of many. This was especially true when a disaster or a plague would hit. Back then, during a plague, 30-40% of the community would die because they had inadequate medical care. So get this. During a plague, everyone would leave town. That's what people normally do. But the Christians would stay and care for the sick, sometimes at the cost of their own lives. How is that possible? Because they're not fearful. Because they know during a time of crisis, this is an opportunity for them to exercise love, to practice love by showing care to other people. American pastor A.W. Tozer says this, "A scared world needs a fearless church." And I'm hoping that churches across Australia and across the world will show fearlessness during this time. They will exercise faith, they will not be fearful, and they will do all they can to help others so that they can be pointed to God, the Creator, who loves all of them. So, before we go, how can we show love during this time of crisis? I'm going to give you three quick tips, all right? Number one, be considerate of other people. Be considerate of others. Do not hoard, all right? Don't join the hysteria by piling up stuff for yourself. Be sensible about it. Sure, get some of the things that you need. I got some of the things that I need. Mike and I, before we met, we bought ourselves some toilet papers. But we didn't buy in bunches, but we bought what we needed. So exercise sound judgment. Be considerate of other people. I saw this on the internet as well, this photo of an elderly lady at a supermarket before empty shelves, before all of us youngish, healthyish people go out and buy everything in the shops. Consider the people most at risk. Do not hoard. Do not join in the hysteria. There might be more of that kind of hysteria in the coming days. Do not be one of them. Do what is sensible. Be considerate. Number two, how can we show love during this time of crisis? Continue to be generous. Continue to be generous. You know, a lot of people during this time will lose their job. A lot of people, especially casual workers, will not have steady income. Make sure you continue to be generous. Be sensitive to the needs of others around you. Even our church, during this time, we know that offering is going to go down, all right? But I want to encourage you, if you call this church home, we still have need. In fact, during this time, we need to be doing more ministry. So we want and we need your continuous generosity, your continuous support during this time. Not just the church, but everybody around you. So make sure you ask God, God, how can I be generous during this time? How can I not be selfish during this time and show love through my generosity? And then number three, how can we show love during crisis? Look for ways to help others. Look for ways to help others. A lot more people will be in isolation. A lot more people will be in depression. Make sure you call someone. Make sure you check on people. Make sure they're doing okay. Look for ways to help others. I love this quote. Social distancing is not mutually exclusive from looking after each other. So make sure you check on each other and show love. And finally, how does faith show itself during the time of crisis? Faith will show itself in power. When you are fearful, you will be powerless. But when you have faith, you will see the power of God working in your life. Maybe that's your experience, right? It says in my experience, when I'm fearful, I became physically weak. I remember one time I was in this competition. I was doing well. It was a badminton competition. I was leading by far. And then suddenly, I was gripped by fear. And my knees started to buckle. And all my shots are falling off. You see, that's what fear can do. But when you have faith, you will see power in your life. God gave us not a spirit of fear. That is not from God. But God gave us power. The Greek word is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite, is powerful. Do you know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you? Do you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Do you know that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation? This is the time for us to rise up and exercise faith because faith will show itself in the power of God working in and through our life. We serve a powerful God. We serve a loving God. We serve a mindful God. So when you exercise faith, the same power, the same love, the same sound mind is available to you as well. Let me pray over us. This is a time for us where we need to join hand in hand to pray for our country, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our nation, to pray for the churches. And I want to encourage you to come back next week online to join us again as we continue to talk about faith and how faith reveals itself in our life. So make sure you join in next week. But for now, why don't you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you that during this time of crisis, you are still in control, that you are still powerful, that you are still loving. Even though we don't understand why things happen, but we believe, Lord, this is not a surprise to you. So, Father, we pray that you help us during this time, especially the people of faith, for us to show your love for the people around us. And the Rocks, people joining online, it is a custom in our church to be dismissed by receiving a prayer of blessing. And if you have the faith to receive it, wherever you are joining online, why don't you open your hands as we receive these blessings from God. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for joining us online. I'll see you all next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.